Good afternoon. It is one bell of the afternoon watch, and this is your Captain Joe up in the captain's chair once again here on the magical Isle of Vashon after not having been up in the chair in the Gene Bosch Memorial Studio for 2 weeks. There are reasons for that, of course. And we'll talk a little bit about that a little bit farther on in the program. I come to you live, as I always do, almost always, on the Voice of Vashon 101.9 on the FM band, and streaming live all over the world to Captain Joe's people all over the world on voiceofvashon.org. My greetings today go out to all of Captain Joe's people who traveled for Thanksgiving and events after Thanksgiving and have now returned safely to their particular, your particular home port. It is, as I talk a little bit about my own voyage of both family and discovery, you will see that it is indeed possible that each one of us get out and go to places and see people and do things that sometimes we think maybe we really can't do or shouldn't do. And I'm sitting up in the chair telling you that my last trip, which completed with some interesting endings, with an interesting ending, having missed my own open house, and I will talk a little bit about that as well, that all of these things can, in fact, be made to happen. I also want to acknowledge all of the wonderful messages and signals that I have received while I was away, while I was traveling, and which I have not yet been able to acknowledge or reply. It will be a relatively slow process. You see, I used to have in my official family an XO. I always had an XO. I think I had probably 12 of them in the six cutters that I commanded. And I always had a captain's yeoman. And in my last four ships, the captain's yeoman was also the chief yeoman. And in one of my shore jobs, I had as a colleague and my reporter and my recorder was a senior chief yeoman, and his name was Curly, and he spelled it K-U-R-L-I, Curly Burmeister, Senior Chief Burmeister. And Senior Chief and I traveled together all over the Atlantic area and visited every single Coast Guard station that had a search and rescue mission. And we tested their ability to carry out that mission. And in that whole job, that was the assignment that I had before I went to my Ingham as XO and then went to Vietnam. We tested their ability to carry out all of the requirements of the search and rescue mission. As shore jobs go, it was really a good one. I learned an enormous amount. And I came to respect and have such high regard for, in particular, Senior Chief Curley, who was not only my recorder, my reporter, but he was also my scheduler for trips, and he was also my friend. Curley has crossed his bar, of course, and the captain is still here, reporting on so many other wonderful shipmates who have crossed their bar. Even some of my XOs, most of my XOs, in fact, now. So I thank you all for your wonderful messages, and I will get to those as I am able, but know that no matter how long it takes before you hear from me directly, it still know that all of you are in the palm of my hand. My binnacle list today has one sad element to it, and then a relatively good report. The sad element is that I had reported that my friend Sharon, who unexpectedly crossed the bar just before Thanksgiving, that the arrangements for her memorial turned out to be very closely held, and that the people who actually were in physical attendance were just her husband, her children, and I believe the children's spouses. So that's only a very few people. I am hoping that they recorded it so that I can watch it, and I'll be talking to Sharon's daughter, who was her caregiver right up to the end, and I will find out whether I'll be able to watch it later on. The other thing is that all of the people that I have been keeping track of, some are known to you and some are not, because that's the way that they have asked for it to happen, and they are either steady as she goes or they continue to improve. In my own case, when I get to recount some of my adventures during the long trip that I've just completed, the fact that Mr. Foley and I no longer have an intimate and personal and internal relationship. In fact, we have no relationship at all. Piping, tubing, couplings, holding tanks, day tanks for all of you snipes engineers out there. Parenthetical insertion here. In the Coast Guard and Navy, engineers are called snipes. I don't know the genesis of that term. I need to look that up. But I will bet that somebody out there, one of my people out there, will hear this broadcast and will say, "Captain, here is where that term comes from." I will bet you that'll happen. So in any case, as all of Mr. Foley and all thereunto pertaining are no longer part of my equipment loadout, I had passed through several different airports. On my way home, I had to pass through Chicago, airline code ORD. My disdain for ORD is almost complete. Not only because it's so big, but because there is a huge amount of traffic all the time, and it is a, as you move your way through from Terminal A to B to C, using that tunnel that connects B and C, I think it is, as you make your way through all of this, there are people headed your way, people crossing your bow, people overtaking, and in particular on the moving walkways. And I get over as far to the starboard side on the moving walkways as I possibly can to make room for those strollers that are coming up behind me. Now, in the rules of the road, the vessel being overtaken is the one that has the privilege, and the one that is doing the overtaking has to give way, but not on one of those moving walkers. And when I was in Chicago, airline code ORD, a few days ago, and had to stay there overnight, that's part of the story yet to come. Coming up behind me in the overtaking situation was a double stroller, two very small children, twins, actually. I looked down into the contents of the stroller and determined that they were, in fact, twins. dressed exactly the same, and they look pretty much the same, too. And so the getting around, and because I use those moving walkways as sort of a place to regather and recoup a little bit of strength to move on to the next level, we had an interesting place where I exchanged places with that double stroller. But in any case, because I no longer have all of Mr. Foley with me, I elected to walk for the first time in a long time, ORD. I did have to stop and sit down and watch the passing streams of humanity every so often. But for the first time in a number of months, I did not engage the services of a pusher. Parenthetical insertion again. Often these pushers are from Somalia. And they have been, without exception, absolutely lovely people. I'm not going to get right into all of that right now, except to point out, I am going to point this out. Every contact that I have ever had, and that includes a number of them now, with people from Somalia, I have been impressed with their kindness, with their gratitude for being in this country, for their enthusiasm for doing the job. They are people that I am proud to have living with us in this country. I myself come from immigrant family. Most, in fact, all of us do. I'm resisting the temptation to get started on that. I'm not going to do it because I have other things that I need to get to today. In any case, that's the binnacle list. I am doing really, really well. I have my next oncology appointment in January. But in the meantime, there does not seem to be the need for me to ever revisit the Hall of the Mountain King known as Mr. Foley Land. Let us hope that that's the case. But if it turns out I've confronted it once, I can confront it again. And I will report to all of you because I get signals when I don't report. So I want to make sure that everybody is, first of all, at ease with my travel. So here's my travel in this last trip. This was to see a number of people, Captain Joe's people, that I had not been with for some time. So the first stop was Essex Junction, Vermont. Now, getting from Seattle to Essex Junction, Vermont is not a particularly easy task. There are not many people in Seattle that want to go to Essex Junction, Vermont. You fly into Burlington, Vermont, and I did fly into Burlington, Vermont. And for the 5 years now that I have been staying with my sister for Thanksgiving, I also stay in a Hilton in Burlington, and the people profess to remember who I am. I don't know whether they really do or whether the system comes up and says, this person has stayed with you before. I don't know the answer to that. But what I do know is they are just lovely people at this place, and this is the place where I always stay when I go to Essex Junction. And I rent a car from Harry Hertz, and I use that to get from my hotel to my sister's house in Essex Junction, Vermont. After Thanksgiving, I drove the same Harry Hertz car to Mechanic Falls, Maine. Now, in Mechanic Falls, Maine, are people who were part of my command when I was the commander in Sault Ste. Marie. And have now, they originally came from Maine, they have now moved back to Maine. And their children, in particular, one of their daughters. And I, when I was their commander, we went camping together. Actually, it wasn't in the Sioux, it was later. It was in Astoria, Oregon. Your captain really gets around. So I had a couple of days in Mechanic Falls with this family. We had a lovely time. It was just a great coming back together after a number of years. Then I moved from there. I drove from there to Boston, airline code BOS, turned in the Harry Hertz car, and then flew from there to Buffalo. Buff for Buffalo. BUF, airline code. Now, Buffalo for me is a town of hazard. Because when I was captain in Northwind and I had Northwind up in the Great Lakes, in the winter of 1978-79, I think it was, all of the ice on Lake Erie, and Lake Erie is shallow, and of course it's freshwater, and so it freezes up pretty quickly, and it was a brutally cold winter. And sure enough, the temperature dropped, the ice broke up, the wind came out of the west and it shoved all of Lake Erie over into Buffalo. Parenthetical insertion here. Interesting thing about Buffalo, there are several interesting things about it. But one of them is because it's so close to the Canadian border, there are Canadian flags, maple leaf flags everywhere, and the ubiquitous Tim Horton fast food outlet, which is a Canadian company. I had a steak and cheddar panini in a Tim Horton in Buff for Buffalo. Highly recommended. End of parenthetical insertion. So I went to Buffalo because that was a sort of late addition to my trip plan. And again, getting to Buffalo and getting from Buffalo back to Seattle is a little bit tricky because there are not many people in Buffalo that want to go to Seattle. So anyway, the reason that I was in Buffalo was for the wedding of one of my granddaughters. The planning for and then the execution of the plan for that wedding was a little bit late in my planning cycle. Oh, Curly, Senior Chief Curly, where are you when I need you? Pam, my travel agent that did so much good travel for me, I sure could have used your help here. So anyway, I was for my granddaughter's wedding. Now, several of my grandchildren have married before this, but I had not gone to any of the weddings, and I don't know exactly why that is. I have to examine my conscience and look back in my records to see why. But in any case, I believe if my memory is correct, and I think it's still functioning pretty well, that this is the first of my granddaughters whose wedding I was able to attend. If there was ever any event that reminds you of how much your family loves you and how much you love your family, it is to go to the wedding of a granddaughter. And not only was the wedding of my granddaughter Madeline, but also her parents were there. And Madeline's two older sisters who were bridesmaids. And it was just a glorious, glorious time. I am so glad that I was able to make it all fit together. But I do have to say that getting from Buffalo on a schedule that you can actually have a paper boarding pass in your hand. So I was able to be there for the rehearsal dinner. I was there to be there for the wedding itself, but I had to leave before the reception. And I drove back to the airport, BUF, and I had to turn in my Harry Hertz car, this one being a purple Kia. I shall not further characterize my feelings about a Kia, purple or otherwise. It'd be enough to say that if you own one, I hope that you are enjoying it, and I hope that you will not expect it to last too long, because it's not built to particularly heavy scantlings, and it's certainly not built to the same design philosophy as my Mercedes. Enough of that. So I turned the car in, and I worked my way through security. Wonderful people working in this airport. Beautiful little airport. Wonderful people. I always thank the TSA people for taking such good care of us. And sometimes you get a really interesting reaction to that. So I got myself on the downstream side of TSA PreCheck. I also highly recommend TSA PreCheck, even if you're only going to travel once or twice in a year. And was and just happened to look at the departure board. The Andy phone was snugly in my pocket, and I had not heard it beep or ding or whatever it does when it's sending you a signal. And I saw that my flight from BUF to ORD was delayed. Now, BUF does not have a United Club. But anyway, I went to the departure gate, and I watched as for three more times the flight got delayed. And I had a one-hour layover connection in ORD. And I had scoped out the track from my arrival gate to my departure gate, and I knew that if I moved along in a smart and seamanlike fashion, I'd be able to make it. And I didn't. And so I had to RON in Chicago at the expense of United Airlines. And by this time, it was snowing everywhere, all over the East Coast. And I guess there's about 4 feet of snow in Chicago by the time I got out of there the next day. All of this is to tell you that I have missed my open house. But I had already made the chili, and I was able to give instructions as to where it could be picked up. I've had two reports that it was sufficient unto the needs thereof, of sufficient quantity and quality. And the uniform of the day for Santa was where it could be picked up. The music had been arranged. And my young friend Kelly, who I had trained many years ago to give tours out at Point Robinson, is back on the Pacific Northwest, and he was able to cover for me for the lighthouse part of it. So far as I know, I've not yet collected reports from everybody, but so far as I know, it all worked out really well. I want to get quickly, because I'm nattering away here, and but I thought everybody would be interested in my trip. And so I'm just looking at the summary. I see here that there were six flight segments, that there were three cars from Harry Hertz. There were three that I used in the Hilton chain. And then when I had to RON in Chicago, ORD, The United put me up in the Renaissance, which is about 3-4 miles away from the airport. And the van driver, the shuttle van driver, was highly skilled, because it was snowing and it was cold, and it was reminding me of breaking ice all over the Great Lakes. I want to get quickly to the magazine, and it's actually two magazines, and it is from Powerships. And when I returned, there was a parcel in my stack of inbound mail, and it was from my friend Amy, who is the membership coordinator for the Steamship Historical Society, and where I had been in the trip before my Thanksgiving trip. And during that trip, I met a retired Navy captain by the name of Captain Terry Tilton, and he saw that I had had a connection to Northwind, and he said, "Do you know anything about Northwind?" And I said, "I was her captain." And he said, "Well, I wrote two monographs for Powerships about the Wind-class icebreakers. Part one is in the fall of 2018, and part two is in the spring of 2019 issues of Powerships." Now, if you're not a member of the Steamship Historical Society, I recommend that you consider that and you get in touch with Amy, who is the membership coordinator. But if you, some of that may be online. So I opened up the first one when I opened up the parcel, and it is just an incredibly and wonderfully researched and detailed article, multi-page article with wonderful photographs, many of which I've never seen before. And one of them is a photograph of Northwind taken after she had been re-engined and under my command. And it shows the Christmas tree at the masthead. You have to really look hard, but it is there. So part one is in that autumn issue, and part two is in the spring issue. And I have only been able to skim through these, and I am telling you that my heart was just, it was just as if I was up in the captain's chair in Northwind and the bridge in Northwind. And so many thanks to Captain Tilton for doing this. I'm going to read it in great detail. I'm going to make some more notes and talk a little bit more about it later on. But I just wanted to recognize that I have already started to enjoy it, and I have already reaped more good out of my membership in the Steamship Historical Society just with those two issues than I could possibly have ever described. I have actually no more time left. I have a great book. I'll do it next week. Next week is not my Christmas one, but in 2 weeks I'll do my Christmas one. And in keeping with our tradition, I will tell the story of how I acquired my Christmas tree for the masthead going into McMurdo at Antarctica. But next week, we'll do some more catching up with various stories, things that I want to talk about. I want to talk about the Northern Sea Route and the Arctic. And I want to talk about a new initiative that's coming up, partly worked with the International Maritime Organization, IMO, in London, about improving the shipboard firefighting standards, because we've had so many really serious fires. And I'm going to also hope that we're going to be also talking about improving stability standards, in particular for the car carriers. So once again, we are, as we always get to this time, time for me to say that we never say goodbye. We say until we meet again. I am so grateful for all of you. And I hope that if, not hope, it is my wish and command that if you are on the binnacle list, whether it is known to all of Captain Jones' people or known only to me, that you will follow the instructions of your medical practitioner and that you will indeed return to full and active duty. Know that as I travel around this great country, and in fact, as I travel around the world, I have a very ambitious travel plan for 2026. I'm not going to be traveling anymore this month. I am going to celebrate Christmas here on the Magical Isle, just the way that Mary and I did every year that we were together, with a 50-foot Christmas tree. Actually, it's not going to be that big, but it's going to be pretty big, a live Christmas tree. I do not ever have an artificial tree. So this is your Captain Joe on station and watching properly. And it is my wish and hope and command that each one of you will watch out for your own six and watch out for the people for whom you are responsible and accountable.